You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen, kinsmen, wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing, whatever time it is. May the Father bring you joy. May He help you in your countries. May He destroy those who are trying to destroy you in your respective governments. It's amazing that people would sell out like they do, and it's really disgusting. I don't know if we'll ever really have the answer. I mean, king for a day is what it really comes down to, I suppose. But I don't understand why they would do these things. You know, well, I guess it's because, you know, there's a lot of blackmail that's going on. Fear is something that's used to keep the masses in line. Just as with this so-called virus, we don't know if there's any virus or not. You know what I mean? There could be, there might not be. This could all be just a test to see if we'd believe all of it. You know what I mean? Who knows what it is? What can you believe today? That's what it's coming down to. And that's the atmosphere they want it to be, is you don't know what's true and what's false anymore. I mean, not all cases. We know what's true and what's false in some cases, but with whatever they're touting, whatever they're doing, one can never trust them because they want it to be that way. They're looking to create an atmosphere of fear and distrust. That way there you can't ever get together and do anything together. You know what I mean? The idea of the United States is that we would be united as one people out of many one. You know what I mean? That type of deal. And that we would be strong by being unified. But it's been anything but that, hasn't it? Because they don't want it that way. They, with the three parentheses. Yeah, sickening. So, I hope that this is going to be a good year for all of us. I don't know. It hasn't. Every year it doesn't get better. I understand that. But I've been praying for the brethren and the sisters. Some people are having a rough ride. And we need to all pray for our brothers and sisters. I encourage you to pray for all Israel, and you know that that doesn't include the Jews, but all our brothers and sisters of Israel, that they will turn back to the Father, that the Father will hear them and love them, that He will deliver them from these false religions. You know, we have to pray these things because we love our brethren. And those people that are in these Judeo-Christian churches, though they have some blame of it, many of them, I don't believe, know any better. Just like the Catholics, they don't know, you know, they're just trying to, you know, find the Father and so on and so forth or whatever, but they're just not able to do it in that, those types of institutions. In the right way. And so it's my prayer, and I hope it's yours too, that the Father will deliver them out from this deception, from this great lie that we've seen is so prevalent. You know, I'm not done with this investigation, but it is amazing. It shows you just how Christianity got to where it is today. It's incredible that this is like almost a 2,000-year deception. You know what's strange about it, folks, is that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, just as our race was to begin, the devil was at the doorstep to destroy the race. And thus, that's how Cain came about. Well, it's the same thing with when Jesus came, died, and was resurrected, the devil was at the doorstep again. And it's frustrating, but it's the same operandi. It's the same way of doing things. It's the, you know, they're ready to destroy at all times, ready to kill, steal, and destroy. And Christianity was there, and it was vulnerable, unfortunately. And, you know, as the thing has progressed, when Marcion brought the Apostle Paul's teachings back into view, the Babylonian Catholic Church took this into their bosom, so that it lived through them until Martin Luther put the 95 Theses on the door. And when that opened the door for the Protestant movement, the same Pauline gospel went right out through all the denominations. And here we see it today. We can see that it is exactly what has happened. All you have to do is follow the trail. And it's very obvious. So, hopefully that can be reversed. I don't know how much time the world has left. I mean, we're in such a condition of Sodom and Gomorrah at this point that, the equation of corruption leads to chaos, and chaos leads to judgment. There is a lot of judgment going around, and there's a lot of chaos too, and of course a lot of corruption. So it's everywhere. I mean, the oceans are in chaos at this point because the coral can't keep itself clean and so on and so forth, and because the cleaners are being eaten up. So the sea is, you know, casting whales out of it and so on and so forth, because it's not being cleaned properly. If only we would listen to the Father, if only we would obey Him, things would change quickly. But will we obey Him? Now, I'm not speaking to most of you. I'm speaking as a whole. Well, I know the Jews won't obey him, and I know the beasts of the field, most of them won't obey him. But what I'm saying is that if something doesn't happen within all of us soon, either the end will come, or it's just going to continually get worse and worse and worse until the end will come. I know that there's a lot of us and a lot of you want the Father to come back now, and I don't blame you at all. It kind of would be, you know, a lot easier, you know, in the long run. But that's the Father's decision, so we can't make that decision. We can only ask Him, you know. All right, so we're in Fritz Springmeier's book, and again, we're learning about the Watchtower Society. We're on page 245. Now, you know, Rutherford, this is after Russell had died and Rutherford has taken over. And some of this is a review of what we read before, but it goes into deeper things in this particular book. So it says, perhaps the second most vital position of the Watchtower Society was the London office, as it helped with the European and Commonwealth work. Paul S. L. Johnson, a Jew, another name. See, keep that in mind, Johnson, another Jew. You got Johnson, who was here, that took over for Kennedy, that helped to kill him. He was part Jewish. I think he was a quadroon. You have Boris Johnson. You know, it seems that the name Johnson is a very common Jew name. I'm not going to say to you that there's no man or woman named Johnson that's not a Jew, but it's often a Jew name. The names with man and son at the end often are this way. So, Paul S. Johnson, a Jew, had been assigned this position by Russell. Paul Johnson had for some time thought Russell had selected him to succeed. And a majority of the directors thought so as well. For a while, the London office in British Guinea were loyal to Johnson rather than Rutherford. But Rutherford tricked the law into believing that the four directors who opposed him were illegal and forced their dismissal. Then he had an upper hand. The motive for the murder would have been power and money. Rutherford and his friends like Macmillan took over the society. Rutherford had become a recluse, gradually solidified his power and wealth. He had the use of several Packards, he mentioned that before, in mansions, right, in Europe. Now, an interesting thing about this was Fritz had talked about how the B'nai B'rith Jews wanted Johnson in. But Rutherford got in and spoiled that. So that could have had something to do with the whole thing. And so now it, you know, speeds up here, and it says, on February 8th, 1942, Rutherford died, according to the Watchtower reference, with his boots on. Some older Bible students on the West Coast say he fell down the stairs drunk. His death was kept secret for several days, and the local San Diego Union paper didn't get the scoop until the 10th, 3 days later, and printed the story on the 11th. His estranged son, Malcolm C., also a lawyer, and his neglected wife, who he had ignored for years, Mary M. Rutherford, lived in Los Angeles. His live-in secretary, Bonnie Boyd, was with him at his Beth Sarum mansion when he died and signed his death certificate. Afterwards, she married a man named W.P. Heath and dropped out of the picture. It appears his death was kept secret until the petty power struggle between the triumvirate in Bethel was ironed out. Still, why his death was wrapped in secrecy is not known for sure. His burial was kept secret because he wanted to be buried at Beth Sarim, which was outside of any cemetery zone. In a fitting tribute to a man who had no respect for anyone else's opinion, nor was ever governed by anyone else's rule, Rutherford was buried secretly against city ordinances in Beth Sarum. 3 months later, a lone unaccompanied hearse pulled up to Woodrow Cemetery, and a mock funeral was held at the Staten Island Don by a select group of Jehovah's Witnesses. The death certificate says Rutherford died of uremic acid, which he had had for a month, due to carcinoma rectum, which he had for 18 months, due to pelvic metastasis, which he had for 6 years. In exploring the relationship of the Watchtower Society to the One World Conspiracy, several items can be mentioned in relation to Rutherford. Number one, whatever Rutherford decided to do, he would have done it, for he was not guided by moral scruples, but by his own ideas. Number two, Rutherford had some powerful friends. He had campaigned with William Jennings Bryan's presidential campaign, working with civic groups and groups like the Masons, and had friends like Congressman Blackburn Barrett, governor of West Virginia, a lawyer. Number three, he had some pull with the newspapers. For instance, the National Labor Tribune of Pittsburgh ran his sermon on Thursday, May 9, 1918. And number four, his modus operandi to cover over the controversy over the widespread use of demonic Ouija healing device. Remember that this was talked about in the Watchtower and the Masons. Listen, his modus operandi to cover over the controversy over the widespread use of a demonic Ouija healing device by Jehovah's Witnesses was to allow Goodrich to write an article against it, and then to refute Goodrich's article in a subsequent issue, and then to proclaim the issue closed to discussion. In light of this and other similar cover-ups, it is not out of the question that the anti-Masonic article reprinted in the Watchtower in 1930 may have been merely a subterfuge. Let's look up the word subterfuge. We know basically what it means, but let's look it up anyway. Deceit used in order to achieve one's goal. Let's see what else it says in the Merriam-Webster. Having or shown to have just, right, or reasonable basis. That's justified. That was the other show. How did that get back there? Okay, let me just do this. Subterfuge. Okay, now we'll look at it in the Cambridge Dictionary. An action taken to hide something from someone. His excuse sounded more like subterfuge than a real reason. A trick or a dishonest way of achieving something. Sounds like subterfuge is a very Jewish thing. All right, so you get it, right? So, it continues. Was Paul Johnson slated by the B'nai B'rith to take over the Watchtower Society? Was Rutherford and his close henchmen tried on sedition because they upset the plans of the B'nai B'rith to put their men in? Did Rutherford strike a deal at some point with the powers? Circumstantial evidence points to Rutherford agreeing to some kind of working relationship with the conspiracy. Or did the One World Government planners support both sides of the struggle for power over the Watchtower Society? There was a notable change in Rutherford during the 1920s. He began channeling. I hope you're listening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when I talked to that Jehovah's Witness, he said, "Where are you getting this information? From the internet?" I said, "Oh, yeah, you couldn't believe anything you see here on the internet, right?" And he didn't say anything. But, you know, this is a ridiculous thought. Like, you know, if anything comes from the internet, it's like the government, you know what I mean, would say the same thing. You know, like, "Oh, you're reading some..." No, these things are... People have done this research. You know that Fritz actually joined them to see what was going on the inside? You know what I mean? So... It's something interesting, you know, that they'll try to explain it away in any way they possibly can, you know. And, you know, you realize that the internet, there's false stuff out there. But on the television, how much truth is really on there? So when you compare the two, if you compare the television and how much truth might be on the television, and then you compare the internet, and how much truth would be on there, wouldn't you agree that there's a whole lot more truth on the internet? Now, there's still lies out there because these people from television are still on the are on the internet. But there's a way to get information out here that you'd either have to read the books or you have to, you know, like, this is a wonderful thing to have this PDF to read this information. This is a lot of research. Say what you will about Fritz, you know, I don't really trust him because he doesn't believe it's the Jews or anything, you know, but yet he mentions the Jews, just like all the rest of them, Bill Cooper and everybody else. It's not the Jews. It's not the Jews. You know what I mean? I mean, how many times have you heard that parroted in the... I should have, you know, at one point I was taking some of these things and I was hoping to get it. You know, I know Ike said it wasn't the Jews and Bill Cooper said, you know, on and on. Ralph Epperson. And I mean, I would love to have a soundbite of each one of these people and just make it into one soundbite. It's not the Jews. 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 but all the names they're reading in their research and books talk about the Jews who were doing all this stuff. But, you know, the idea is that, you know, these Jews, they don't practice their wonderful religion of Judaism. You know, that holy religion. This is so ridiculous. You know, they're atheists. They don't believe in that wonderful religion of Judaism that's so holy. it's laughable because, you know, those of you that know, those of us that know about the Talmud, we know it's not anything but holy. It's crazy. It really is. So, you know, what was happening was the Jews were influencing this society, but, you know, when like I said before, when Rutherford, when Charles Taze Russell was preaching, that the Jews would come and hear him, and they enjoyed his preaching. Do you know any Jews that would enjoy, you know, coming to a so-called Christian church? Well, of course, the churches today maybe, right? Because they're saying everybody's that the Jews are God's chosen people. But, you know, back then it was a little different. But anyway, let's continue. It said that it was a noticeable change in Rutherford during the 20s. He had begun channeling. You know what that means, right? So here you see already that they were using a Ouija board, right? Remember we had talked about that before, that they were using this Ouija board thing. It wasn't the Ouija board itself, but it was a typical Ouija board, like a, I don't know, where was that? Ba-ba-ba-bum. Yeah, a demonic Ouija healing device. Okay? So it wasn't a Ouija board, but it was similar to this. A demonic Ouija healing device. Okay, now, and then they're involved in channeling. See? And the name of their society has the name Jehovah, and we know what that name means now. Right? We know that that's another of the devil's names. Used in Freemasonry as well. And they know who it is. They know it's not the Father in heaven. So he began channeling. He wrote that wicked angels work their sins off, listen carefully, by bringing messages to the earth for God. Since his messages from these spirit beings have proved false, the conclusion is that they were demonic. After God's channel to redeem the angels had died, the Watchtower described his death in these words: Brother Rutherford's advancing onto greater fields of activity by Jehovah's grace, by the devil's grace. You see, think about this logically, right? You've got demons, and God is, listen how stupid this idea is, okay? Because this is so easy to see. You've got demons, right, who were sinners and this and that, and the Father in heaven is going to trust these demons and let them work off their sins by having them, giving them messages and bringing them to mankind, or people like Rutherford. Can you see what's wrong with the picture? Number one, the Father wouldn't be doing such a thing in the first place. But number two, it would be foolish to do something like that because you couldn't trust the demon to bring the right message. You understand what I'm saying? It's just total nonsense is what it is. And if only our people could think for themselves, they would understand that what crazy nonsense this really is. One of the sources here says, several researchers have studied Rutherford's channeling. Dwayne Magnani gave a talk at the PA convention of XJWs, 1987, on Rutherford's demonic channeling, which was taped and sold as Angels of the New Light, quote-unquote. Magnani had accumulated much information yet to be published on the subject. At least one New Age channeler has identified Rutherford as channeling. Rutherford indicates this several times because Holy Spirit has ceased to function, according to him. Did you hear this? Holy Spirit has ceased to function, says Rutherford, at his time. Now imagine you're a Jehovah's Witness and I tell you these things.
Oh, where did you get that from? The internet?
You see, they've given them all the excuses so that they will just hide their head. I see no evil. I hear no evil. I speak no evil. No, is that the present truth? Remember that? See, the Jehovah's Witnesses, when you tell them, I told the fellow, I said, did you know that Charles Taze Russell, he adhered to the Aryan conspiracy and he denied the deity of Jesus Christ? And he said, no, he didn't. I said, yes, he did. And I said, he bowed his knee to the unknown God. You see, when you tell them these things, they are so entrenched in it and so close to it that they will not be able to receive it. I printed out a good amount of this book back in Boston for a friend of mine who was a Jehovah's Witness. It had zero effect. So some deceptions, imagine that, you know, all this has gone on, that Rutherford had done channeling and they've been playing with Ouija boards and he said the Holy Spirit is no longer functioning and all these different things, and they won't adhere to it. They'll say to you, they've given him this excuse. Is this the present truth? In other words, well, that was the truth in the time of Rutherford, and there was the truth in the time of Charles Taze Russell, and now we're in the present truth. It's not the same organization anymore. We're run. He told me they were run by a council of nine men. I mean, this is crazy. And I told him, I said, yeah, that's what the Knights Templars were run by, a council of nine men. And he said, oh, yeah, I saw that on television recently. You get it? A council of nine men? The devil? So he knew, you know, he knew, he said, you have a strong belief in what you believe in about, you know, the Father and all this stuff. And he didn't want to hear about us being the Israelites of the Bible. He kind of like shunned it heavy. So it is very, very interesting. You know, I'm just going through some of the notes on this right now. So it says, Gruss Edmond, Apostles of Denial, reprints a BTTBW Publications number 79, which was a reprint of Olin Moyle's letter, September 25th, 1940, to the Milwaukee, Wisconsin congregation of JWs. Olin Moyles had been the society's attorney. On page 295 of Gruss's book, Moyle wrote, quote, There appears to be a definite policy of breaking in newcomers into the use of liquor, and resentment is shown against those who do not join them. The claim is made, one can't be a real Bethelite without drinking beer. This statement is in accord with the author's research on Rutherford's personality. Now that's interesting, isn't it? You know how many Christians or many men like to drink beer. I like beer in the summertime myself. I haven't had a beer this year yet. I haven't had any drink this year yet. But, you know, I like to have a couple beers in the summer maybe, you know. I probably drink two cases in the summer, total, the whole summer, which is, you know, the summer's long around here. I didn't even drink two cases last year. But, you know, it's really interesting when you look at this. So that would appeal to men, wouldn't it? You told them that, oh, you can drink beer. You know, if you're going to be in the Jehovah Witnesses, we drink beer. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with drinking beer. There's not, unless it's to excess. But anyway, just a something from here, you know, what it's saying. So, what else? Any other notes here? Okay, listen to this. Numerous talks by Rutherford were given at Masonic halls. For instance, the annual meeting of the Watchtower and Bible and Tract Society was held in late 1923, along with a five-day convention. Rutherford was present. The first days were held at the Memorial Hall, but Sunday's convention service was held at Pittsburgh's Syria Shrine Temple, a.k.a. the Syria Mosque, where not only the Shriners but various Masonic groups held functions. See, the Shriners, why it would be called the Syria Temple or the Syria Mosque, is because the Shriners are a Middle Eastern group. But they're just the regular Masons from our country. You see, but they dress up in Middle Eastern garb and so on and so forth. And this is appealing to the Muslims to join these groups to do dirty work for them. You see? Just like another mafia. See, mostly you have to be a high-level Mason to be in the Shriners. Now, I've done a study on these Shriners already, and I'm behind time, you know, like this was at Christmas time. I was studying these Shriners, and I have a whole bunch of things to speak about it. But so much is going on, I can only do what I can do. So, Brotherhood of the Great White Lodge. Manly P. Hall, the great Masonic leader, wrote, "Through the labyrinth of diversity, only the illumined mind can and must lead the soul into the perfect light of unity." Yeah. The Freemasons have promoted the illumined minds of the New Age movement. New Age leaders who have been illumined by the Brotherhood of the Great White Lodge have been helped by and promoted by the Freemasons. Most New Age channelers are not Masons, nor are they expected to receive Masonic sympathy. The leaders of the Theosophical Society, some of the higher Masons, and Church Universal Triumphant's prophet Elizabeth Clare, prophet, who claims she's today's Jesus, the new Jesus, are some of those who claim to have received enlightenment from the Brotherhood of the Great White Lodge. Note the photocopy of the brochure. Okay, you're not going to be able to see that here. So who is the Brotherhood of the Great White Lodge? They're called various names such as Ascended Masters and Spirit Guides. They are spirit beings who channel to the New Age leaders. Like Rutherford, you see? These Ascended Masters are also variously called the Hierarchy. Now, there you are, right? The Externalization of the Hierarchy by Alice Bailey, right? She also talks about the Ascended Masters, etc., etc., etc. This stuff's all linked together. And it all links to Lucifer, the Lightbringer, who is their God and their Christ. Notice that they're called masters again. Did you notice how Jesus said, call no man master, which means rabbi, right? And then he says, call no man father. And you notice that the world's religions all use the term master and father. And basically, here they are using master again. Even in karate, they call them the master and all this stuff, you see. Or if you're a great violin player, they'll call you maestro, which means master. So anyway, These ascended masters are also variously called the Hierarchy and the Brotherhood of Light. And you know who that light is, right? The Brotherhood of the Lightbringer. And it's said that even Masons, right, even become Lightbringers at some point themselves. So this was by Channeler J.J. Hertig, the Brotherhood by Channeler Richard Kaininger, and the Divine Hierarchy of the Great Beings of the Universal Brotherhood by Channeler Earl Cheney. They have provided much of the information that the New Age literature consists of. The message of the Great White Lodge. What have these ascended masters told their New Age channelers? Turn your radio on and you may hear a song such as In the Year 2525. You remember that? If man is still alive. The ascended masters have stressed that a man is on the verge of a new age, a new order. Man needs to create a one-world government and one-world religion. This new period is often called the Golden Age. And didn't we see that that's what, you know, that's what I said to that Jehovah's Witness. He said there's going to be a thousand-year millennium. I said, is it called the Golden Age? He was a little stunned. At least one spirit is reported to have called it a grand second Genesis. Technology and New Age spiritual philosophy are to combine to establish a paradise new world. Examples of this are the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, a New Age Bible given by the spirits, Enoch and Metatron, to J.J. Hertag in a code to supposedly help man unlock the divine plan in the minds of the Great White Brotherhood. Now remember that Carlos Santana, right? You have the anagram, you know, it's changed around. Carlos Satan, like that's the female Satan, right? Satana, Santana, you know. So anyway, if you just re-scramble the words up, right? Scramble the letters up, you can come out with Satana, right? He used to have a picture of Jesus Christ and a picture of Metatron, and they were his gods. Remember? Just trying to jog your memory about these things. See, these are all the things that they've used these people. Now, what does Santana have to do with Jesus Christ in the first place? Nothing. Obviously, he's not a white man. And he's not of the covenant. But that's okay. The Apostle Paul said it's okay for him to come on in. Come on in. So anyway, another New Age Bible given by the Spirit God, quote unquote, to Michael Matheson, warns that man will be severely punished unless mankind organizes into a one-world government by the year 2000. Matheson titled his 442-page Bible, quote unquote, the New American Bible. I hope you're listening. Interestingly, this message of a coming golden age paradise has been given thousands of times to the New Age channelers. Often the spirits mention that a series of cataclysmic events must precede the new world system. Yes, the terminology and message happens to be identical to the message given to Rutherford by the spirits who channeled him. Interestingly, the parallels don't end here. The Watchtower Society came out with a Bible called, listen, New World Translation. It is apparent that portions of that translation borrow from the translations which were channeled, such as Johannes Grieber's translation. You see, I don't know, maybe they do know about these things, the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I don't think so. Just imagine if they did a little study into their own organization, what they would uncover. But somehow, you know, remember I came up with the term devil lock? You know, It's like this gospel of Paul. It has a devil lock on the world, and it has had this devil lock on the world for almost 2,000 years. Some of these deceptions have devil lock on them. In other words, somehow you can't break the programming. If you touch the programming, it protects itself somehow. It's got devil lock. Right? I mean, that's, you know, it's funny because, you know, as I've done the investigation on Apostle Paul, there are people that will just completely, if you touch their programming, they will completely, you know, just either react violently or they will be in denial. You know, it's often the way when you tell somebody the truth, you know, there's five steps or whatever it is. First, there's denial, then there's, you know, anger, then there's acceptance. That, you know, so, you know, it takes time. This programming is deep and has been here before we were even born. So it's interesting. So, interestingly, the parallels don't end there. The Watchtower Society, yeah, we said that, right. The Strangest Connection, the channeling connection between the Watchtower Society, the Freemasons, and the New Age is indeed the strangest type of connection because it suggests a supernatural power is coordinating such new light, quote unquote, new light. See, this isn't the Father's light. New light meaning new information, new revelation, maybe, right? New light. For a while, it appeared that the idea of the devil was going to disappear from the Western culture. Psychiatrists told us that such supernatural phenomenon did not exist. Let me stop right there. I can't resist. Would you believe in a psychiatrist? Most psychiatrists are Jews, right? I mean, a good percentage, right? I mean, high. And because it came from a Jew who was a fraud named Freud. And he was definitely mentally sick, spiritually sick, etc., etc. Said you wanted to have sex with your own mother. Everybody wants to have sex with their own mother and all this nonsense. I mean, the guy, obviously, the Jew is a very sick creature. So would you believe a psychiatrist if it told you that there was no such thing as demons and no such thing as, but people would believe, right? They would just, there are people that will believe anything you tell them. Except the truth. They won't believe the truth, but they'll believe anything else you tell them. Isn't that interesting? So the psychiatrist told us that such supernatural phenomenon did not exist. Meaning the devil, demons, and spirits, and all these things. It's interesting that these would be the people to tell us that because the early great psychiatrists were themselves into the occult and demonic activities, you know, isn't it interesting that that's the way it is? See, hypnotism is an example of early psychiatric nonsense. The New Age channelers don't view their spirit guides as demons. That is the label placed on their activities by Christians who note what the Bible states about such activities. Most of us have never channeled and cannot address the issue of what kind of spirits these are. However, several New Agers have confided with the author that at some point they discovered the spirits revealed their demonic identity to them. One famous New Age leader who found out that these spirit guides were demons was Randall Bear. Now, we're going to stop right there and take a break, ladies and gentlemen. And these are a couple of tunes from a Scottish band named Alba. And I had found this album. It's a gem. It's absolutely, I used a couple of their tunes, a few of their tunes, on my Pipe and Drums movies. the album had problems and I remastered it, and they're just such sweet and beautiful songs. I hope you enjoy this. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. You know, that's such sweet music, and what's a shame is I believe they really only made the one album with that lineup. And of course, it's an absolute shame. This is one of the world's finest albums. If you heard the whole thing, it really is absolutely superb. This often happens. There was a group called Captain Beyond. And the first album was just absolutely one of the best albums in the world. And then the second and third album they made, they changed the lineup, and it wasn't even close to being the same type of thing. They, of course, the record companies, decided it was too progressive, and it was too manly, is really what it was. And so they told them to, you know, commercialize it, which they often do. And what a shame, because if you've ever heard the album Captain Beyond, it is remarkable. Definitely one of my top 10 albums in the world. And the lineup was quite good. It had from Deep Purple, the original singer there, and had Bobby Caldwell on drums, which absolutely stunning, incredible drumming, incredible. And you know, this is all different time signatures like 5/4, 3/4, I mean 13/4, I mean whatever you can think of. My music has a lot of that as well, but not in the aggressive way that they did it. I mean, it was just really, I mean, it's just top notch. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, let's continue. This is quite interesting that what we're learning here. The last sentence I wrote was, one famous New Age leader who found out that these spirit guides were demons was Randall Bear. It is believed Randall N. Bear was murdered for revealing too much about the New Age movement. His book, Inside the New Age Nightmare, tells the story of someone who left his channeling when he realized he was serving demons. I would definitely pay attention to this if I were you. The reader should read his book to fully appreciate why Bear, after years of being a New Age leader, concluded that Satan and his demons were the spirit guides of the New Age. Bear tells the compelling story of how the spirits had power, indeed a supernatural power, and were not simply figments of the mind. The skeptic of supernatural events will at least concede from his book that these spirit guides are believed to be real by the people who communicate with them. Some examples of New Age channeler Bear's conclusions concerning such spirit guides are, listen to this, because this is exactly what goes on with your news or your you know, I was speaking with the, you know, because I did the fireside chat about peer pressure, a brother and I were discussing that, and he says that, yeah, that's been going on for a long time. He said, you know, when I was talking about the president and behind him stands, or it's not just the president, it could be anybody. And the people stand behind him. And what he said about it was, it looks like they're staring at the back of the head of the speaker, and he believes that somehow they're putting words into his mouth through thought channeling or something like that. He didn't know how to describe it, but listen, this might describe it. Listen, public channeling is mass hypnosis. Through speech cadence, and we were talking about speech cadence, orchestrated body and hand movements. So let me read this again so we really get this. Public channeling is mass hypnosis. This was the conclusion of this fellow Bear. And then he says, through speech cadence, orchestrated body and hand movements, voice inflections, and invisible demonic powers that fill the room, the spirit weaves a hypnotic web of rainbow-gilded infiltration. Not only do the participants take in false information, but, more deeply, they absorb the permeating influences of the demon's formidable powers into the heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Often a type of open-eyed trance state overtakes the listeners with a sense of relaxation, pleasant tingling sensations, and rapt fascination with the goings-on. You know, these are the things that I warn women, our women, about yoga. I'm telling you that they are targeting the white women with yoga. And they're destroying the white women with yoga. That's also, a woman told me that these yoga type places are magnets for queers and transvestites and things like that too. Naturally. It's a demonic atmosphere, in other words, you see. And this also is part of this peer pressure to accept queers and accept transvestites and all that stuff into our society. You know, they carve a place out for these people, right? So, like, for instance, on The Simpsons, they have a poo, right? So they carved out a place in our white society for these Pakis or Indians or whatever, and that's at your convenience store. And they become slaves at the store, and they sell you bad food and bad things and poisonous things. But that's their little niche, you know. Well, you've got the queers, and their niche would be either they'd have queer hairdressers, or they'll have queers that help you to redesign your rooms in your house or things like that. So what they do is they etch out a place for them in society. A niche is more what I would like to say, I believe. And you're supposed to accept that, you see. But see, I don't want to buy from any Indian at a convenience store. I never did want to, and I never do want to. Those people don't have good hygiene to start out with. How foolish would I be to want to buy something from somebody like that? Oh, don't judge a man by... Well, he's not a man. Oh. Well, then don't judge... Well, forget it. So, public channeling is mass hypnosis. So it continues. It is refreshing to see Bear, like so few prophets ever do, reveal. Now, who said he was a prophet? Fritz said he was. Well, that doesn't mean he's a prophet. It's refreshing, anyway, that to see him reveal that the psychic powers ultimately draw upon demonic principalities as their source of power. Now, you know that these music videos and concerts and so on and so forth now, they're not just, they have all those hand movements and all the trance states and all the demonic activity going on, right? So you see that that's a perfect vehicle for this type of psychic power, so to speak, to draw upon demonic principalities as their source of power. So he continues, channeling is indeed a blending, a merging, a touching between humans and discarnate spirits. Are you hearing? Now, remember, I have to keep on interjecting thoughts or injecting thoughts. Remember how many of the musicians and actors have told you that when they go on stage that something comes into them and acts through them or plays an instrument through them, etc., 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 or sings through them or whatever it is? So listen again. Channeling is indeed a blending, a merging, a touching between humans and discarnate spirits. However, Behind the oh-so-friendly and wise facade are demons who touch to deceive, blend to invade, and merge to possess. Again, however, behind the oh-so-friendly and wise facade are demons who touch to deceive, blend to invade, and merge to possess. They come with an olive branch of peace, love, and universal brotherhood in one hand, and a smoking gun concealed behind their back in the other. It says that Bear became a Christian when he discovered that these spirits were demons. Other New Agers who have told their stories to this author also came to Christ when they realized that demons were the spirits that were controlling them. Bear praised the Lord God for his salvation from Satan's New Age movement, quote unquote, and for the true freedom and salvation received through Christ Jesus. He turned his back on all the New Age practices and his demon-ascended masters. Bear felt the New Age kingdom was a delusion. The ultimate paradox, let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. What isn't a delusion? Practically everything is, isn't it? You know, I'll share this with you again. Maybe you don't remember, or maybe you will remember. When you go by to the hardware store and you buy boards, you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, et cetera, et cetera, and you say, I would like an 8-foot 2x4. Well, it's no longer a 2x4, in case you don't know that. But it's called a 2x4, but it doesn't measure 2x4 anymore. It used to, but it doesn't anymore. But yet, we go on with the facade that it is a 2x4. We pretend it is a 2x4, and they pretend, the sellers pretend, that it's a 2x4 when it doesn't measure 2x4 at all. It's something like 3.5 inches, something like that. I haven't measured it. But when I found out about it, I just said, are you insane? Then why are we calling it a 2x4? This is how crazy the world really is. You got another thing called a 1x6, but it's only 5.5 inches. But when you buy it, it's called a 1x6. And I don't think it's 1 inch either. I think it's something like 3/4 of an inch by... You know, this is the world we're living in. Everything's a deception. A bag of chips you look at looks like it's a big bag of chips, but half of it is air. So when people caught on to that, they started making the bags a lot smaller. Now you're paying, and I'm not going to pay for it, but there's, you know, like things like Doritos are, you know, $2 for $6, and you're getting hardly anything inside of them. It's just a strange atmosphere in this world. Imagine that everybody goes along, all the contractors, all the stores, the people who supply the stores, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, these are 8-foot 2x4s, or these are 12-foot 2x4s, or these are 16-foot 2x4s, but they're not 2x4s. Oh, why is that? I don't know. When did that start? Oh, a while ago. See, because at one time they used to be 2x4s and 1x6s. Anyway, it's incredible. So he felt the New Age kingdom was a delusion. The ultimate paradox for New Agers is that they believe the lie that they are heading for a New Age kingdom on earth. See, that's the copy of Jesus Christ coming down here after Armageddon, setting, you know, renewing the earth and setting up his kingdom. You see, they all have to copy everything the Father does. It's all imitation. It says all the while they're really following a Satan-conspired path to destruction. If Bear's insight from his years of leading the New Age can be applied to the Watchtower's channeler Rutherford, then Rutherford was part of a demonic conspiracy. Well, yeah, of course he was. The devil is Jehovah. That's a name, that's Jehovah. They've tried to say that's Yahweh's. That's not Yahweh's name. That's a hybrid name. The Father doesn't go for hybrids. And if he was using a demonic Ouija healing device, what does that tell you about this? These freaks? See, Christianity in most churches is just a farce. It's trickery. It's a lie. Imagine promising people of the world that they can come in and be an Israelite and they can be redeemed when they haven't lost anything and they can be part of the kingdom. They can be grafted in. Anybody can be. Jews, devils. I mean, right here, this fellow said that demons could work off their sins. So they can join the kingdom too. See, anybody can. And the Pope recently said if an alien from Mars came down here, they can join too. You see? It's a major deception. This thing with the Apostle Paul is a major, major deception that enables the fables of the Jews. Even though the Paul said, beware of the fables of the Jews, not the Judeans. You know, basically, that's how the Jews play the game anyway. You see, if they're in the Jew truth movement, they'll mention the Jews, right? Some of them. Like Brother Nathaniel, whom I abhor. You see, it's a game. And so this deception of the Apostle Paul has enabled the deceptions of the older part of the Testament, being the Jews, part of the Scriptures. The Jews are God's chosen people. Jesus was a Jew, is a Jew, etc., etc. The rapture and all these demonic doctrines. Doctrines of devils. See, there's a foundation to the lies. And this one lie, the Apostle Paul's gospel, which is major, has enabled all these other lies. Because the Holocaust couldn't be if they weren't supposedly God's chosen people, right? Why would it matter if Jews were killed, but it doesn't matter when anybody else is killed? Why would that be? And when you say gypsies were killed too, gypsies are Jews. It's amazing stuff, folks. It's amazing stuff. And once, see, this is a big thing to take on this whole thing about the Apostle Paul, because I'm telling you, the devil's getting very upset about this. I can see it. I can see what's going on in my life right now. And no, it's not the Father, because the Father keeps on taking care of me. But I see the evidence that the devil is very upset, because this is something that's been really not questioned too many times. Anytime this was questioned in the past, the sheep would beat on those who brought up the what they were seeing, and these people would all back off. You know me, I'm not going to back off. I've already done 17 shows on this, which is more than William G. Findlay, and there's more to come. This is a lie that if it got turned around, Christianity could be turned around. And if we could reinstate the Father's name, that would reinstate our prayer lives to power, because that's the way it would be. That's the way it is. I notice the Father answers my prayers, and I pray in the name of Yahweh. I don't pray to the Lord. And this is what worries the devil. See, they've had every advantage over us for almost 2,000 years, these Jews. And I'm telling you, people warned me not to take this on, said I would lose my friends and I would gain many enemies. But for some reason, it's being pretty much accepted. And there's not a lot of, there hasn't been a lot of blowback, because it's kind of like, once you hear it, see, if you just came in and you listened to a message like that I just did, and it's the 17th message, you might say, well, you know, you're crazy, the Apostle Paul. But if you really, honestly, go to my site, davidjamesboston.com, and go to the Apostle Paul's study piece, and you read it, and you listen to William G. Finley, you know, it's got to be about 5 to 10 times each show, because you just can't get it all. And if you do some research for yourself, and you listen to my shows I've done on it, it's very hard to refute. There are people that think that they're going to give you 10 scriptures or something like that, and that's just going to change everything and everything's going to be okay. You can't, it's just not going to happen. See, the Father is the one that's doing this, and it's glory to the Father. It's not glory to me. To do this, I had to have guts. I obeyed, and I also had to have faith too. And hopefully you respect what I'm doing and respect the fact that I wouldn't back down, that I would obey the Father. And there are those who are going to say, oh, that's not the Father. And the Apostle Paul is the greatest man that ever lived. As a matter of fact, he's more important than Jesus Christ. He created Christianity. Yeah, that's because your God is the Apostle Paul. There are others that will refuse it because they would have to admit that they were wrong. But see, I've admitted that I was fooled by the Apostle Paul. It doesn't hurt me at all. I don't, you know, we've all been fooled by this, right? So why would I'm not in a position where I'm in an ego thing and oh my God, I was wrong all this time. I was fooled by the Apostle Paul. I can't tell people that. I'll just keep going along with the lie and pretend I don't know anything. I hear no evil. I speak no evil. You know, I see no evil. But I will tell you that one of the things that's been revealed to me is something I never expected, is that Christian identity is certainly not what I thought it was. And I know that it is lopped up with agents, but now I see that they, from top to bottom, except for William G. Finley and a few other people, they're totally pro-Pauline. And what they don't realize when they're pulling this nonsense is they're revealing something. And I hope that you can see what I'm talking about. See, this is a world deception. This is one of the most major deceptions that there are. Why would they continue to be deceived with this type of a thing? Aren't these people the ones that tell you over and over, we're the only ones that tell you the truth? We're the only ones that are awake. Sure you are. See, I think it's just as much of a false religion as all the rest of the religions. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, that the Father has me telling you to not follow institutions and not follow men, but to follow the Father in heaven. and have a relationship with Him. This is what I do. For some reason, Visser is obsessed with me again, and he thinks I think I'm a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I have no title whatsoever, and I'm not Christian identity. I've told you this over and over and over again. I'm not a pastor. I'm a teacher. I am the teacher. And that's it. I have no title. I have no medals. I don't seek any titles. I don't seek any medals. I don't seek any glory for myself. I seek the glory of the kingdom of God and the glory of the Father in heaven. And the Word of God, of course. That's it. Because I have no use for these things. I don't play along with the world. The world tells you that you only need to listen to experts. And all experts have titles, real or fake. I don't have any title. I am not a pastor. But I will tell you one thing about myself. And maybe you could already tell this. I care more for the sheep than most pastors do. But I'm not a pastor. I pray for the sheep all the time to the Father that He will protect them. I care about the Father's sheep, but I have no title. I don't scatter the sheep. And as I told you already, I don't want to mislead the sheep in any way. I do not want them to be scattered. I want them to return to the Father in heaven and keep their eyes upon Him. Forget about the storm. Forget about the glory of man. And forget about these institutions that are here to continue the deception. I wonder if you're hearing me. I wonder what you're thinking. Because you don't know how much I care for you. Because you don't know what I do in private. But I can assure you, I care for all of you. As far as the deceivers go, and the fakes that are out there, if they will not repent, I pray for their destruction. Period. Anybody that scatters the sheep needs to be destroyed. For some reason, it just seems to be the right time to hear this message about the Apostle Paul. And it's about time we find out what happened to Christianity. Isn't it about time? I mean, haven't you wondered what happened to bring Christianity to its knees like this, in its current position? The fruits of the Father's gospel are superior. The fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel are weakened fruit. It's no good. Most of it, if not all of it. I really don't know the percentages of or anything. The Father knows all these things. But the Father gave me confirmation to go forward with what I did. And now you see, it's been revealed that Christian identity is all for the deception of the Apostle Paul. Front to back. They've got books written about it too. And they've got Paul naysayer people that have defended the Apostle Paul and so on and so forth. You see, I'm the prosecutor in this case. And once you find out somebody's lied and that they told their story three different ways, that's enough right there. I mean, there's been enough told to you now that we could end the case now. But I'm German. I'm thorough. And we'll thoroughly go through this, and we will make sure that every jot and tittle can be crossed. That possibly that I can. I won't be able to find every single thing, but I mean, look at what has been found already. It is remarkable. I never expected this. I didn't ask for it. Had no idea it was coming. And I've had the guts to obey. You at least have to respect that. And if you don't, that's up to you. I really couldn't care less. I care what the Father thinks. As long as he knows that my heart and my reins, I really can't worry about what somebody else thinks. So let's continue. We're on page 252 here. So it says this. If Bear's insight from his years in leading the New Age, I want to just read this again. Okay, so he says that leading the New Age can be applied to the Watchtower's channeler Rutherford. Then Rutherford was part of a demonic conspiracy. At the very least, if some readers are very skeptical about this whole thing, they must recognize the many similarities between Rutherford and the New Age channelers. There are more similarities. The similarities go back to such things as Russell believing that Cyrus, who was supposedly an incarnation of the sun god and worshipped by his people as such, was a foreshadowing of Christ. Zoroaster was also viewed by Russell as a great prophet and is also tied to the sun and its worship. One of the ascended masters is Zoroaster. Elizabeth Clare Prophet has channeled Zoroaster's messages. The Masons also look to Zoroaster. There, and of course, Zoroaster is a very Jewish thing. The Masons also look to Zoroaster. Their New Age magazine calls this Persian prophet a noble, quote-unquote, prophet. In another article of the New Age magazine, November 1922, page 658, 32-degree Mason M.M. Javins writes, quote, "It is useless to dwell longer on Zoroaster in the Zend Avesta, as most Master Masons are familiar with their position in Masonry." Unquote. They have a position. Zoroaster and Zend Avesta have a position in Freemasonry. The New Age magazine, the official organ of the Scottish Rite, in the June 1922 issue, page 343, pronounces magic as good, quote unquote. In another issue, white magicians are declared to be angels encamped about the people, serving and protecting. That's from September 1933, page 554. So I think we'll go on. Well, we'll just read this last paragraph, because it just gives a bunch of notes, you know, and sources of all this that we've read. The Illuminati. According to Illuminati, Masonic, and other sources, the Illuminati were white magicians. That doesn't mean, well, you know, it does, but the Masonic leaders believe they continue to guide mankind as the Great White Brotherhood. The ancient Illuminati manifested in the 18th century, 18666, have no inheritors on the physical plane at this time. Their activities are chiefly from the spiritual plane, where they are momentous. They may be said to truly exist, but their organized activities and beneficiaries in aiding needy humanity are on the spiritual side. Note also about the Apostle Paul that all things flesh We know Christ no longer by the flesh. That's a pure lie. See, everything with Simon Magus and everything with the Apostle Paul was and is, just like these people, on the spiritual side. Spiritual fatherhood with Abraham, spiritually grafted into the covenant, spiritually made an Israelite, spiritually, you know, all of it's spiritually done. This is very Jewish. And I believe most of you can recognize that. Well, that was a fast show, I must say. And I'm pretty much pleased about what we're learning. It's just amazing. I never would have... You know what the next chapter is that we're going on? What it's called? The Cult of the Double-Sexed God, Jehovah. That'll give you a little prelude or preview of what's coming next week. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, you better study to show yourself approved. Hey, those are the Apostle Paul's words. Oh, yes, they are. Not everything he said was wrong. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening.